The Heath Mulligan Project started as a glimpse into the daily life of a family dealing with a terminal illness. Each of our lives is a gift from God, a project to work on and improve. Once you discover your purpose and your passion, the possibilities are endless. Are you ready to get started on your project? Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Heath Mulligan Project. So happy to be with you. I had the opportunity yesterday to speak with some students from Southern Wesleyan, along with Barry Van Steenberg Jr., our Director of Global Engagement. This group of students went up to Asbury University, where, if you haven't heard, last Wednesday, February the 8th, 2023, they had their normal 10 a.m. chapel service, and then after chapel, some students remained to pray and to weep and confess and worship. And as of 11:28 a.m. On Friday, February 17th, is still going. It just broke out, and Asbury also had a revival like this. I want to say 1970 that got, you know, nationwide news and things like that. I had a great conversation with those students, and there's a link to that in the show notes. I encourage you to listen to that over at Swoo Soul Stories. There has been so much commentary on this revival, and I certainly am not wanting to add my two cents to that. I thought it was interesting last night. Tucker Carlson did a segment, and they had asked to go. And Asbury called him back and said, "Please don't come. This is not an appropriate place for TV cameras. That's not what this is about." And I thought Tucker's response was very respectful, basically like, "Hey, thank you. You are absolutely right." This morning, I saw Asbury put out, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes as well. And it was this post and some other things that I had saw that sparked me wanting to talk about this. And what I want to talk about is, be careful what you pray for. We pray for revival, and revival is so much more than a moment, an event. It's a move of the Spirit. It can't be contained. But I've been thinking about what's been happening at Asbury, which I think is tremendous. And I've been so encouraged by the people making pilgrimages. And I told the students, like, there was one weekend this month that I literally could not get away. And it was this weekend. And they actually, you know, somebody had texted me and said, "Hey, man, let's get a van and go." And I'm like, this is literally the one weekend I cannot do that. However, like, I was so encouraged Saturday morning. I was at the gym and just had a moment of revival, personal revival. I was sitting there on the exercise bike weeping, listening to a song, and just felt overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. And so we know, I think it's awesome that people go. Some of my best friends have gone. I think it's great. I think pilgrimages is great. I think, yeah, did I want to go? Did I want to see? Did I want to experience? 100% absolutely. I so appreciate the statement and the website that Asbury has created, and they talk about moving forward, and basically, here's the thing about revival. And I want you to hear what I'm saying here. I want you to think about what's happened at Asbury, which, again, I move of God 100%, so grateful for it. Revival is a logistical nightmare. And what you see, again, the statement put out by their university, and hey, this is what we're doing moving forward. And in there, I do believe there is an announcement, hey, The 24-hour services are coming to an end, and here's our plan moving forward. Because I want you to think about this. Somebody has been having to clean the bathrooms in Hughes Auditorium, which have been in use 24 hours a day for the past 9 days. One of the students that I interviewed yesterday, Jay Drury, said, man, at one point pizza just showed up. And who did that? You think about the parking, you think about the infrastructure, you think about the hotels, you think about students needing to go. You think about all the things that happen when thousands of people from all over the country, from all over the world, descend on your university for the greatest reason possible, to experience a move of the Holy Spirit, to see for themselves. Come and see. Come and see what the Lord has done. Come and see. And from our end, you know, someone who's sitting 7 hours away, I can't imagine the decisions that are being made behind closed doors. I so appreciate, again, the leaders up there who, on the one hand, are being so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, are being so sensitive to, man, this is a move of God. You don't want to put it out. You don't want to do anything to harm what's happening. But we still got stuff we got to do. There's these logistical things. One of the things I saw, and you don't even think about this, and it was about bags. It was about bags being brought into the chapel. And it reminds you that there are people that don't like what's happening. There are forces of evil in the world who would want to do harm to this, who would want to hurt people. And I'm, you know, the first week of the revival, you're probably not even thinking, hey, I mean, but again, like I said, and I hope you hear my heart when I'm saying that. Like any move of God, like I've been at camp before, and I'm getting ready to do an episode of Youth Camp Stories about this, where the Holy Spirit breaks out. And you kind of got a camp schedule, and you got things you got to do, and you got things scheduled. You kind of got a program you're trying to stick to, and you just throw all that out the window. You know, what do you do when your church has multiple services and the Holy Spirit lets loose in the first one, and you've got your whole day, your whole Sunday kind of timed down, and now the first service is run over, and you don't really know how to end it? Like, what happens when the Lord, think about even in your personal life. You think about somebody who's an addict, or who is just in the wrong crowd, or is in, you know, might be living in a bad situation, and the Holy Spirit comes in and their life gets transformed, and now you got to find new friends, or now you got to find a new place to live, or now you got to beat this addiction, and you're dealing with the physical ramifications of coming out of that addiction. And there's the possibility of rehab. And what if you have kids? Who's going to watch your kids while you're in rehab? You think about that. Like, there is, when the Lord moves, all through Scripture, when you think about, you know, it's just a sentence to us. They left everything they had to follow him. You think about that. You think about the ramifications of that. You think about the disciples. Some of them had families. And what are the ramifications of following Jesus? And no matter what that looks like, when the Holy Spirit moves, there are logistical things. I mean, it's just a fact of life. It is not, it's not neat. It's not manicured all the time. It can be extremely, extremely messy and hard. Like I think about again, something as simple as you've had this chapel. I want to say it seats 1,500. And it's been in use 24 hours a day for going on 9 days, 10 days. And there are people that their job is to keep that building clean. Their job is to pick up trash on campus. Their job is the security of the campus. And you think about that. You think about the impact on that. Again, it's just what happens. And I think, can you imagine, you know, we're talking about, imagine driving there. Imagine you don't get the memo that some of these services that are happening, they're now just, hey, we want this to be for high school students and college students, you know. This is a college campus, so this is who we're for. This is what we're about. And can you imagine, like, if you drive 10 hours? I mean, people have driven hours and hours and hours, and you get there, and you got to wait outside, and it's cold or it's raining. And then you get up there, and what if you don't get in? What does that do to your spirit? What does that do to your attitude? How do you handle that? What if you got there and you're not even thinking? What if you just hear the Lord say, man, call you and go, and you go, and you're not mentally prepared for the reality of driving around for an hour looking for a parking spot, which is a beautiful problem to have. You're not thinking about the issue of finding a seat. Like, what does that do? You know, if we, you know, go to an amusement park, we don't like waiting for a line, even though it clearly says, hey, you're going to have to wait in line. I feel, you know, on a side note, jokingly, I feel like the best thing we can teach kids to do is learn how to wait in line. Because pretty much you're going to spend a lot of your time and a lot of your life, unfortunately, waiting in line. Waiting in line at the store, waiting in line at amusement parks, waiting in line to get gas, waiting in line at the restaurant, waiting for a table. Just spend a lot of time waiting. But yet, and we get frustrated in some of those times of waiting. But we don't give up. Like, sometimes we do leave the restaurant. We don't want to wait on a table. We'd rather get in quickly. And sometimes revival's not like that. And not every revival's going to look like the ones that have happened at Asbury. Not every revival is a joint gathering. Sometimes revival is a very personal. It happens in the dorm room. It happens in the locker room. It happens in the heart. And one thing I was so encouraged to hear from the students from Southern Wesleyan was, hey, we're not looking for a copycat. we just want to move with God. You know, we're not necessarily asking for a 9-day nonstop service. We're asking for changed lives. We're asking for changed hearts. We're asking for deeper love. And even when that kind of revival comes, what does it look like to love somebody who disagrees with you? That can get messy. What does it look like to... What does it look like to sit down and have a conversation who has a completely different perspective than you? Maybe not on faith, but on life. They have a completely different upbringing. They have a completely different life experience. But through the time of that conversation and the Holy Spirit moving, God creates unity. I think that's one of the clearest signs of revival. I think it's an odd thing that both unity and disunity can both be signs of revival. I think for the people experiencing the revival, personally and corporately, there is this great sense of unity. I mean, it's been amazing to see people who don't know each other posting about it, posting their thoughts, and that's been very powerful. But this thing's also created a lot of disunity. A lot of people who are, you know, would consider themselves gatekeepers. You know, and you don't have to look far for them. I mean, there's been people. Well, I saw this guy was at the Asbury Revival. We know he's a sinner. We know, he's one of those celebrity pastors. And that just goes to show you that it's not real. And, you know, no one preached from John 3:16 during this revival, so it's not real. Or they sang this song, or they sang that song. And, you know, and if this is not happening, and this is not happening, it's not revival. It exposes things. When the Holy Spirit shines the light of revival, when He shines it on my life and my heart, I think, man, I'm going to tell you, when this thing started, I'd say even Wednesday, before I even knew about it. The Lord's been really working on me deeply. Hardly. I mean, not hardly. The opposite of that. In a very hard way. A very tough way. I spoke to somebody this morning who in the brief time I've known them, has exhibited a really keen, gifted discernment, especially when it has to do with me personally. In that, he said, "You all right?" And I'm like, "Well," and it's like he just knows when something is up with me. And I have a terrible poker face, I suppose. But God's been, working on me and lead me through some things, and exposing things in my heart and in my mind that I need to give over to Him, that I need to surrender to Him. And so I would say a couple of things. Don't pray for revival unless you are willing to be uncomfortable. Because when we are in, and God's presence is everywhere, but there's a special sense, there is the manifest presence of God does something when you are in that presence. And there are so many people in our churches who have never experience that. And so when the Holy Spirit moves, I mean, I remember, you know, you get, it's not always like this. Sometimes it's cold chills. Sometimes it's just a, sometimes it is like a physical sensation. I think when you read so much of the Bible, you know, there was a physical reaction to the presence. I mean, people would fall down. They would fall down, you know, thought they were going to die. They saw the Lord, and there was a physical response. Now, I'm not talking about, please hear what I'm saying. I'm not talking about physical manifestations or anything like that. I'm simply talking about, you know, it feels like there's just a change in the temperature of the room, that kind of thing. And that makes people uncomfortable. And so if you do not want to be uncomfortable, don't pray for revival. If you like things exactly the way they are in your life and in your church, do not pray for revival. Because revival, it means to revive something. It means to change something, to transform something. And something you love, something that you like just the way it is going to change. You are going to be called to change your habits, your thoughts, your attitudes. Something's got to change. I've been thinking about this all week. When there is revival, I was thinking about this in our local church context. When the Holy Spirit moves in a service, there are, like I said, it makes people uncomfortable. And you have three options in that. Number one is you can leave. Like, you can make the decision to, I don't like this. This makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm going to leave in this moment and I may come back. Or I'm going to leave in this moment and I'm not coming back because this makes me feel uncomfortable. This is weird. Don't like this. I'm going to leave. Second thing is, you know what? I'm uncomfortable, but I'm not leaving. I'm just going to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that's not a good response either. The third response is you decide, you know what? I'm going to jump in this pool and I'm going to let my body adjust to the temperature of what's happening. God is doing something and I'm going to adjust. I heard a guy one time when I lived in Pennsylvania, he was going into the Coast Guard. And they told him that when you dive into the water, you always dive head first. Like, if you know you're diving into cold water, you always go head first. Because if you ever tried getting into a cold pool and you go foot at a time, it is torture. And it's not pleasant when you dive in head first. But your brain regulates your body's whole temperature. And the reasoning behind diving in head first is your head gets in and it just tells your body, hey, get ready. And it regulates that temperature. So that's your third option. That, hey, I recognize what around me is uncomfortable, and I am going to adjust to it. I am going to be flexible, and I want to be a part of what's happening. I don't want to be a hindrance. When you become comfortable with being uncomfortable, you know, that's not a good thing. Like, you could be a hindrance to what God is doing. You could be kind of like the plug that, you know, the guy's trying to move and, you know, he's trying to break you. He's trying to get you to dive in. He's trying to get you to acknowledge him and to acknowledge what's happened and acknowledge that something needs to change. So I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that this revival's happening. But my hope is that the people who have experienced it firsthand, that it will be a life-altering experience. For those of us who've experienced from afar, that it'll be a life-altering experience. And that's uncomfortable sometimes. And revival brings about uncomfortable conversations, uncomfortable topics, and sometimes that's what you got to do. Sometimes that's, sometimes that's just what you got to do. So we pray for all of those. We pray for Asbury University this morning. We pray for Southern Wesleyan University this morning. We pray that revival comes. We pray that change comes. Our university is in a season of transition. We have a new president. We're in a season of change. And sometimes that's hard. We're uncomfortable. And, you know, you got to make a choice. It's hard sometimes. But if you're listening to this, my prayer is that you would experience God's Spirit, that you would be open to what He's calling you to, that you would be open to the abundant life that Christ wants to give. I told someone the other day, you know what, you've got some big decisions ahead of you. And whether you choose rightly or wrongly, it is going to be hard. There is no escape from hard. Even Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, for I've overcome the world. So you either choose right, and it's hard, but the one who overcomes, his Spirit lives in you. Or you choose wrongly, and you do it by yourself. And I think we all know when we try to do things on our own, in our own strength, our own power, our own will, our own knowledge, it doesn't work out. It does not work out well at all. So those are my thoughts. Revival is messy. It's a logistical nightmare. I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful. I mean, there are so many unsung heroes of this revival. People who never got to give a public testimony, who never got to be on the platform. There are unsung heroes who have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for this to happen. Who planted the seeds. Who spent time on their knees praying for this moment. Praying for this, the transformation. I think about all of the leaders, the president there, and the board of trustees and administration. I think about how they have navigated all this with such, at least from an outsider's view, grace and mercy and and they've been so welcoming to the world to allow people to come. And It's been a beautiful thing to watch from afar. And I am grateful for every single one of my friends who posted on social media about their experience and shared their thoughts. So grateful for that. So grateful for those testimonies. And so I want you to know, I want you all to know you're loved, that God has a plan for you. I mean, this podcast is about really, man, if I mean, this podcast is about processing this life. It's called the Heath Mulliken Project. It's not because I'm the host, it's because I'm the experiment. I'm the experiment in grace and trying to allow my life to be molded into the image of Christ, and the best way I know how to do. So I'm just grateful for this, grateful for this avenue, and grateful for all of you. And so my prayer for you is that God would help you discover your purpose and your passion and the possibilities that come along with that. And may He help us all to react appropriately when His Spirit comes and makes us uncomfortable. Help us all jump in the water and help us adjust to the temperature that God is setting. So God bless you all. Have a great day, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening to the Heath Mulliken Project. Make sure to add, subscribe, and download the podcast, and leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. You can also join the community by liking the Heath Mulliken Project Facebook page and joining the Facebook group for encouragement and insight.